CII Radio, the pulse of the Ummah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Bumper to Bumper. It's Friday night and we live from Johannesburg. My name is Ziad Plachis and with me in studio is Brother Jamil Ismail. How are you today, Brother Jamil?
Assalamu alaikum, Ziad. I'm doing so well. I think it's officially festive now, and you know, it's very holiday spirits, and yeah, it's a different vibe. I mean, even driving through, so we're in studio today, if our voices sound a little clearer, we have Lucky to thank for that. He's borrowing us all his very expensive equipment here. But everyone's moods just like turned up, you know. It's like people driving around with a smile, and I think it's contagious in a sense, you know.
Yeah, it is. It's nice to see everybody in a good mood. They relaxed, especially with the year that we've had. Lots of things have been happening, and yeah, I think that it's a nice vibe.
It's been like a very busy year and stressful. You know, I mean, there's so much going around, so much going on in the world, and we've obviously got a motoring show to focus on. But even on that front, it's been a busy year. There's a lot of changes happening, a lot of new cars, a lot of news surrounding law enforcement and things like that. So it's been a stressful year. It's been a busy year. I'm really looking forward to a bit of a break. Are you taking a bit of a break or are you full swing through?
I'm already on a break. Yeah. But it's funny that you talk about new law enforcement because our listeners in KZN went through a bit of a change recently.
On the 1st of December,
they rolled out new number plates. So how do the listeners in KZN actually feel about that? I know personally when I lived in Durban, it was quite a big thing to have, a personalized number plate.
Right. So I know KZN people are so big on personalized plates, like they love it. So I'm not sure, like I'm not being funny, but I'm not sure if it's cheaper to do it down in KZN compared to up in Gauteng. But like every second car that passes you, you'll see like flying low ZN, catch me ZN. There's like, it's really, like exquisite. You just, like whatever it is, it's always personalized. Like, I don't know. Look, you guys are really big on just customizing your cars in general. So I think the plate was just something you couldn't leave.
Yeah, you had to. Your car is always on show. So yeah, it wasn't like you had to enter a show in order to get a number plate. You know, like here in Johannesburg, you actually enter a show and then you get a personalized number plate to put, or a show plate, basically.
Yeah.
Here, your car is 24/7 on show, so you needed that personalized number plate.
Yeah, I think the car culture in KZN is really big. It's a big scene. But also, it's somewhat very different as well. I don't know. I think just maybe the style of modifying your vehicle. Now, I think with like the internet, with things like Instagram and social media, the world has like come together. So I don't know if you remember, like back in the day, if you looked at like the way American people would like modify their vehicles, they always had like big wings and, you know, stuff like that, compared to like us who wouldn't really go down that route. Like, you know, like we wouldn't really make our car look like a race car, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah.
But I think now it's like, it's all just like shared. Everyone's kind of on this whole slam low and slow, and then you get like the drift style, which is like more JDM, and so it's kind of crazy. But yeah, back to the number plates, what is the main change? I know they've got like, I think, 2 years to migrate over to the new system.
Yeah, so basically they've done away with the municipality. So before, like the Durban or Itegweni municipality had the ND plates. If you were up north, then you'll have the NUR, which was some Schlanger Rocks. And all through KZN, basically, we can go through all the number plates. But that's all been taken away.
Okay.
And now they've just got like how we have your GP suffix.
Right.
They've got the ZN suffix.
So let me tell you, this is just personally. I think the GP plates are the nicest plates in terms of the way it looks on a vehicle. Like even compared to other countries. It makes a vehicle look really classy. And I mean, there's no millies on it. There's no, you know,
elephants.
There's no millies. There's no funny greens, and yeah, it's just neat. It's a clean, neat plate.
No, it is very neat, and you actually don't need to customize it. with the number plates, I know when I was living in Durban, it was not only a big thing to have personalized number plates, but to have less digits. So your normal plate had 6 digits, right? Mm. If you had 5 digits, it was okay. But once you start getting to 4, 3, 2, and 1 digit, you know, like that was your identity.
So also on that note, that's like a very Dubai thing. Like, you know, plates that have like 2 digits in itself are like thousands of dollars, you know. And it's luck. And I can't remember if it's number one or something, but there was like some ridiculous price that it sold for.
But even here in South Africa, that number one GP was also sold for a ridiculous amount.
So I've actually seen the vehicle that it's on.
What vehicle is it?
So it was on a Aventador. I think it's now on a G-Wagon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know who owns it?
Yes, but no.
Yes, but no. Okay. Okay. Yeah, so so we want to hear from the listeners what do they think, because I mean that's basically taken their whole identity away. Mm. The WhatsApp line is 084-494-7000. So send us a WhatsApp. Let us know what you think about the new KZN plates. Are you happy with it? I know people spent years and money, you know, like every year, mm, keeping that number plate. I mean, if I was still in Durban, I would still have my 4-digit number plate for sure. Mm. And there's lots of people that, you know, would have kept it. And now all of a sudden you just have to change it. So I know online, social media, people were up in arms and they were like, no, you know, they don't want to change. But I mean, that's life.
Yeah, I guess I'm not sure if you remember. This will really tell your age. But we've actually seen two transitions in terms of GP plates. I'm not sure if you remember those yellowish orangish plates from
Transvaal plates.
Yes, right. Then it became the white and blue that, well, 3 digits, 3 numbers.
Yes.
And then after that, it became the 222.
Yeah.
But even that was like, it took a little bit of getting used to. Like, it just didn't look right. And also, I think it became low where your number plate needed to be like kind of pop riveted onto your vehicle.
Yes.
And I mean, you've gotten this like brand new Mercedes-Benz C63 and it's literally being pop riveted like into the body.
Yeah.
Whereas before, I don't know if you remember, it was actually like a plastic plate. It was like a perspex on it.
And you use double-sided tape to stick it.
or what was the other one guys used to do was a magnetic plate and Velcro. I don't know if you remember.
Yes. Yeah. But some people still don't pop rivet it because then there was a time when you had to have a backing plate as well.
Yes. Is it not still?
I don't know. Like, I think most cars come with a backing plate because the dealership wants to have, you know, because it's basically an advert.
Yes.
I can remember when the e-tol started, then people were pulling off their number plates as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do actually remember it moving from the 3 digits, I mean the 3 letters and the 3 digits, to the BB. It started with BB.
Yes.
Yeah.
That it was just like I'm saying. It's you have to like kind of see it through, and it becomes the norm.
Yeah.
And
yeah, because now we had L already.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think like LL or something, if I'm not mistaken.
So
we've come quite a long way.
So soon we'll also be changing ours. Yeah. So before we laugh at anyone's milieus and that, we must just see what we're gonna get.
No, but maybe we'll just they'll change the format. I don't know if they'll.
Maybe.
Yeah, because it looks like it's standard now. The blue and the little Gauteng emblem.
It's a nice emblem. It's a like coat of arms looking emblem, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But so that's it in terms of. Law enforcement and things. But another thing touching on law enforcement this time of the year is there's literally cops on every corner. So make sure your vehicle is roadworthy, make sure you are roadworthy, make sure you are abiding by the law and just taking it easy. I'm not sure if anyone's going on road trips or leaving you know, for holiday via like road transport, just take it easy, you know, leave a little bit earlier. Everyone wants to get down to their destinations and, you know, like you're rushing to the coast or wherever it is, but it's really not worth it because you can really mess up your holiday. And now, you know, it's a lot, everything has to do with stats. So people want the stats of we arrested so many people, we did this. So just, you know, make sure everything is in order.
Yeah, make sure that your car is roadworthy. I mean, there's lots
of
places.
Just for safety's sake as well.
Yeah, there's lots of places that you can take it in. They actually do free checks.
Hmm.
They check your tires, they check your oil. They basically, you can get like...
Do you know of anywhere that does it for free?
I think you can go to like Super Quick.
Okay.
I don't know if it's like free, but I know like if you're an F&B client or eBucks or something, then you can. I think they give you like a free holiday check. But they always run specials, like, you know, like a Super Quick or a Tiger Wheel or something. They run these specials. So you just have to check, you know, who's running a special. They do free battery checks as well. So yes. Battery Center does free checks.
You know, that's the thing, like something small like a battery or whatever could really like mess up your holiday.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to go somewhere and then you come back and you're trying to unlock your car. And another thing is personal advice or something that we do. Always keep your spare key with you on holiday.
That is a good one, yeah.
Yeah, so not on your person, like don't have it one in this pocket and one in this. But like give it to someone that you're traveling with. We've actually had this where once we were on the beach and we lost the car key.
Sure.
Yeah, and I mean, you're not going to find it on the beach.
Yeah.
It's a car key. And yeah, it was pretty crazy, but we had to get like a locksmith and it was like hours on end and it was just such a, like I mean, it just could be sorted out with a little bit of planning. That'll be.
Yeah, but now you get those tags as well that you can put on your keys.
Yes, you even get an Apple one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you it connects to your phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a smart tag, basically. Mm-hmm. And then it can locate your keys even if it's in the sand.
Unless you're going to walk around with that metal detector.
That too. Yeah, but you were talking about law enforcement, and I actually saw this on social media, where the Chinese government are now reparking illegally parked cars. So they have this device, it's like a little like trolley that comes under the car, and it moves the car. So they don't tow it, and they don't fine you.
We need that for Ford.
They repark your car in a convenient spot.
That's nice of them. I mean, I wouldn't even bother finding a parking spot there.
Yeah.
But we need that for Fordsburg.
But there's a lot of things that we can learn from the Asians. I was reading the other day an article. No, seriously. That we can... if you're stuck in traffic, right? Mm-hmm. There's these guys that you can phone and they come with a motorbike, right? They pick you up, take you to your destination, and another guy drives your car to the destination. So you're stuck in traffic, you're late for an appointment or whatever it is, right?
Mm.
Here, you're just going to be like, okay, well, you know, I'm not going to make it. But there, they still get you there on time.
That's extreme. I mean, imagine now you rock up to a business meeting, your suit at the back of some guy's scooter. Lucky, would you do that? Huh? You're not going to run late for the show again. We're going to get you a scooter. We're going to get you an escort, yeah.
But you see, that's the mixed feelings that people had. People were like, you know, can we trust them? Because it's obviously not like a service, like an e-hailing service. So there's no app or something. It's just like some random guy you call. Not random, but I mean, like there's obviously some service.
Look, I don't want to be, you know, like a pessimist, but it's not going to work in this country.
No, definitely it won't work, yeah. No, but people are going to be like, you know, like if I'm going to be late, I'm going to be late. It's one of those things.
Unless maybe Checkers just like broadens their thing, puts a sidecar when they're 60-60 guys.
Yeah.
And
maybe they will. Maybe they're listening and they say, hey, this is a good idea. Let's start.
We want royalties. Nothing for free.
We'll deliver your groceries and your business partner.
Yeah, but that's crazy. It's also somewhat entertaining to see how people think, like on a creative level, to get through like life's challenges and problems, you know?
No, it's enterprising. That's what it is. Mm. I mean, like they saw that there's a need, and I mean they you know, capitalizing on it.
Yeah.
Or trying to, at least.
No, that's crazy. But look, something that we spoke about last week, Ziad, was the fact that we needed to have our own little Car of the Year awards,
yes.
Right? And obviously, I think we spoke about this on the way here. You said you had more than 40 test cars this year.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So, obviously we wanted to speak about which car stood out, and like obviously there's so many different categories right now. So it's more a case of breaking down those categories and, you know, just really focusing on which cars stood out, which cars are worth your money, which cars are worth consideration, you know, if you are looking to buy a car. And then, coming up later on the show, someone who it feels like we haven't spoken to for a while is Michael. And again, just to reiterate that, we wanted to talk to him based on which car stood out for him, you know. And let's go for an air break, Lucky. When we come back, let's jump into it with Michael, and we can get that one rolling.
CII Radio, embracing Africa one city at a time.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to Bumper to Bumper. On this very festive edition and episode, we spoke about number plates and vehicles, and we spoke about the law and a whole lot of stuff. We've now got someone who, like I said, felt like we haven't spoken to in a really long time. Michael.
Good evening, Jamil. Good evening to the listeners. Hope everybody's well.
Yes. I mean, I'm not sure how's your spirits, but mine are really high. I mean, I don't know. You can just feel it's the holiday. I think South Africa has a very unique way of showing that we're on holiday. I think even if you bumped your head and you woke up like 6 months later, you'd know when it's December, like immediately.
Absolutely. So there's two things that always stand out for me. Just how lovely Johannesburg is at this time of the year. The roads are quiet. I feel like I'm on holiday in Johannesburg. And then how unique it is in South Africa that we actually shut down in December. Yes. I speak to family and friends overseas, and they still can't believe that in December, the country almost shut down. Crazy, but true.
Crazy. But, you know, we really are a party nation. Eh? Like, people just want to have a good time.
100%. But I think it's because it's summer in December. Yes. Don't forget that in many countries of the world, like you take Europe, it is freezing cold. In parts of Asia at the moment, yes, it's freezing cold. North America. So because the sun is shining, we have to take a holiday.
100%. Michael, so we've been talking, myself and Ziad, about certain vehicles that really stood out for us, right? During 2023. And I think a lot of manufacturers came with the A game this year. I do feel that it was a very, very big year for, call it, the Chinese, Asian manufacturers. I don't know, for some reason, they really felt like they dealt their blows this year. Tell me, what do you think in terms of motoring in 2023 in South Africa this year? Which car stood out for you? Which manufacturers?
So it's just interesting. I need to share with you quickly, as I'm speaking to you, I'm busy writing the definitive guide, I call it A to V, of my opinion of every vehicle in South Africa. So I'm going to share a couple of tips and insights with the listeners.
Really,
you spoke about the Chinese. You spoke about the Chinese products. If I say to you, if you'd asked me 2 years ago, would I consider a Chinese car, I would have said, what is wrong with you? Why? We've got the most amazing Korean products. We've got the most amazing Japanese products. And then onto the German products. I have been so pleasantly surprised by the likes of Chery, by the likes of Bike, by the likes of Avell. Absolutely deserved. Quality, right pricing, and for many South Africans at the moment, if you take the high interest rates, etc., just a must go to. Your opinion of the Chinese products?
No, definitely. Like I said, I think they just made strides this year. If you look at Chery, like you're saying, with the Emoda and certain products and brands, it just felt like a different manufacturer. And same thing with Haval. I mean, a lot of the vehicles that you look at, they're really answering the consumers. And for someone like me, if I look at some of the features that these vehicles come with, it seems a little gimmicky, but that's what the market wants. You know, they want that fanciness. They want that lights that are shining the logos all over. And
correct.
That's what they're valuing.
You know, Jamil, I grew up in the 80s and 90s. In those days, cars were only about performance. What was a kilowatt? What was a newton meters of torque? What size tires does a car have? Yes. Those days are gone. Performance is decent in every car, and now it's about tech. Hello, yes. Cherry, please open the sunroof.
Yes.
I have a Porsche. I promise you, my Porsche doesn't, my can't open the sunroof without my left hand doing it. So it's just incredible how the entry-level products are now top-end luxury, yes. And that is what the buyers want.
100%. If you look at around, and I always say within, for a buyer, right, where your options are kind of in, I mean, it's somewhat budget, but if you're looking at that 500,000 Rand mark, you can really get something nice, you know, and I'm talking like something brand new. And there's just so
Absolutely.
Many options for your money at that point. You know, if you want to go the tech route, I mean, there's the Omodas, there's the bike, this Suzuki has a Fronx, which you'll be left with quite a bit of change. I mean, you could probably get another smaller Suzuki with that, and you know, it's there's options at that point.
I would love to talk about the Suzuki Fronx because, in my opinion, and I'm very, very pro Suzuki. Suzuki is one brand in South Africa. Now we're moving away from the Chinese back to the traditional Japanese. Japanese was always standout. Your Honda, your Nissan, your Toyota. Suzuki has come along and created a space for itself that immediately they're on the level of Toyota.
Yes.
That Suzuki Fronx, 300,000 Rand price range. Tell me there's a better value for money car than that today.
100%. In fact, when we spoke about having a little awards of our own, just like, you know, something between myself and Ziad, the best
yes.
budget family vehicle, I think we both agreed was the Fronx. I
yes.
mean, there's no better value. I mean, just...
Michael, what's your thoughts on the Proton?
Terrible. Hate the car with a passion. If you say to me personally, what do I think of the Proton? Everything that we've just discussed about the Chinese products, the Proton's Malaysian, it's not Chinese.
Yeah.
But it extends very, very deeply for me. It's the product itself, it's the backup, it's the marketing. The X50, and I'm not contradicting myself, the X50, I think, is a very nice vehicle. I like it.
So,
I drove one at the festival.
I actually also think the X50 is a pretty decent vehicle.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Superb engine, nice styling, nice fit and finish. But then you go the opposite end, the Saga, which is the entry level, and the top of the range, the X70, shocking. If I say shocking, there's only one car in South Africa today. Somebody said to me, Michael, is there any car that you would not recommend? It would be the Proton. Personally, I do not like the brand at all.
Right. Okay. No, and in terms of like, you know, like people carriers and stuff, what are you thinking? I mean, obviously you get premium people carriers, I mean your V classes and stuff like that. But have you had a look at the Suzuki XL6?
Yes, I have. So the best people carrier, come on, Jamil, without debate, is the Toyota Hiace for Keyless. 16 people across the country, 1,000 of them a month are being sold. Come on, you've got to ask me a serious question. No, I joke with you. I hope the listeners see the humor.
No, 100%. But, Michael, I know that you are a Audi and Porsche fan, but if I had
yes,
to break
sure.
it down, say... A little less budget. What do you think performance car of the year should be?
So what are we looking at? Give me a more or less budget. 7 million, 8 million? Are we looking at Lamborghinis? No, I'm joking.
GT3 RS, no way. No, I'd say between the million and 1.5 mark. That should bring you into serious performance car territory.
So BMW has always got to be your go-to. Obviously, you mentioned that I'm an Audi fan, the Audi RS3, the Audi RS4. If you're talking in that price range, for me personally, it would be the Audi RS4, the 2.9-liter twin-turbo Porsche Cayenne S engine.
Yes.
Absolutely stonking performance. I think one of the best all-round performers in the market, without a shadow of doubt. And it's relatively low risk in our country, you know.
Yes.
An Audi has always got, for me, the standout that it's not your target that possibly a BMW or Mercedes is.
So something that doesn't really go together with performance cars, but the RS4 is a very practical vehicle.
Which one? RS4?
Yes. I mean, it's a station wagon. I mean, it doesn't get more practical than that.
On behalf of Audi, I would like to reprimand you, Jamil. Never call it a station wagon. It's called an Avant. I always laugh when Audi fans who love it, when people refer to it as a station wagon. It's not a station wagon. It's an Avant. But it's amazing how it's just such a standout car. It is good looking. The tech is superb. The performance is superb. And incredibly, the resale value. Have you checked the resale values on RS4s? And that all started coming from the year 2007 when the original B4 came to the country.
There was a manual with the R8 engine, right?
Sorry, say that again, please?
There was the manual transmission with the R8 engine, the 4.2.
Correct.
Love it.
So I'm on record as saying I'm not a fan personally of manual.
Okay.
But in certain iterations, no question, an RS4 manual, an Audi R8, if you can get your hands on one in a manual, absolutely magnificent.
So magnificent. Just to stop you, is your R8 manual?
My particular one, no. It's R-tronic.
So, you know, now that I have you, I'm hoping you're in a festive mood. Michael, when can I take it for a spin?
Tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. I've got a breakfast arrangement, but please feel free to come past.
I'm talking about the Audi
R8. So I mentioned to you I'm writing the definitive guide.
Yes.
And again, I always use the term in my personal opinion because you can only say that. There's no definitive yay or nay. You know, everything is about an opinion. If you are looking for the best value for money sports car, can you do better than an R8? Roughly R1 million. I'm talking about for the original one. R1 million for a car that looks magnificent, goes beyond magnificent, got the brand cachet, and in years to come is just going to skyrocket in value because there's always going to be less of them available.
100%. A vehicle that I had my eye on for, I'm talking like a few years. And if I'm watching this price, if I had the money, I would have bought it, parked it off, and just collected a lot of money in another few years, was an SLS. It's just climbing. Like, the price is just crazy. I mean, a few years ago, like I'm talking like 5 to 8 years ago, you could buy one for R1 million. Right.
Absolutely.
Now, prices are all over R2 million.
Absolutely. But again, when you look at the car, you actually understand why.
Stunning.
I often ask myself, what makes a certain car become a classic? It's nowhere, and then out of somewhere, it just becomes a classic. Take the Honda S2000, okay? The best motorbike that Honda ever made. Sorry, let me rephrase that. The best engine they've ever made for motorbike. I mean, have you driven a Honda S2000 ever?
I have. I love it. I don't know if you remember, but we actually had a discussion, like, I want one.
That's correct.
Yeah, one, red interior, that's what I want.
That is absolutely correct. But that engine is just a masterpiece.
Yes.
It's like truly from zero to hero. Nothing. And then when it gets to the rev band, it's just incredible.
Yes.
But what's interesting about the motor trade is this has been an incredibly tough year for the industry. Everything has been against the manufacturers. The high interest rates, coming off 2 years of COVID, but I am supremely, and I don't mean positive, I mean supremely positive for 2024. Your feeling on the market next year?
No, definitely. I think it's just a thing of basically wearing off that COVID rust, so to say. And I mean, industries are kind of bouncing back, and that naturally means your employees are going to be bouncing back, and the workforce in general is going to be bouncing back. So there's just so much of good vehicles out there, so many different good vehicles. So definitely a competitive market in all segments.
For sure.
I don't think there's a clear-cut buy in any of the segments, really. It's down to personal preference. It's down to, you know, after sales. But in terms of the vehicle itself, like in any of the segments, there's no, like, hard and fast, like in any of them.
So true. And again, I keep coming back to the article. If you take in the 80s or the 90s, if you are looking for a top-end luxury car, it could only be Mercedes. Audi was not competing. BMW wasn't quite there. Yes. If you're looking for the most reliable runaround family car, it had to be a Toyota. Toyota is still an exceptional product, as is Mercedes. Yeah. But today, that gap is just so close. There's no such thing as a bad car except the one with a P.
100%, 100%. But no, Michael, what we need to do is we need to sit down. You need to take me for a spin in the R8. We'll book Gerotech so we can really feel it. And
I like. But it's always such a pleasure to be on the show and just interacting and sharing stories. And I love different viewpoints. One of the things that you've always got to remember in life and in the motor trade, there is no definitive right or wrong. Your opinion, I always tell people, as long as you don't think I'm wrong, I won't think you wrong. Sure. But it's awesome and a fantastic festive season to all the listeners, and just safe on the road. That is the key.
The key, 100%. That's it for you as well, Michael. Stay safe. The roads are going to be a war zone pretty soon, so just take it easy, you know, be safe, regards to the family. And we'll probably speak again next year, same spot.
Friday night, 7:30, always available. Thank you for the opportunity. May your station go from strength to strength, and thanks again.
No, thank you so much. And we'll be chatting soon.
Appreciate you. Take care and all the best to everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Michael. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Very, very interesting viewpoints from Michael.
Yes.
But a lot that we can also agree on. But just to go back to it, right, because we've got the last lap of our show, the last 15 minutes. Can we dedicate this to me and you fighting now?
We can. But before we go into that, do you know that there's only a few more R8s left? I think there's like 4 or 5 left in the country, new ones to buy before it's done. Like,
so is that what you're doing with your December bonus?
No, I'm just telling you. if you are looking for an R8,
yeah.
Also, you need to. The one time, I think it was Festival of Motoring, yeah. They took us in an R8 at night around Kyalami Racetrack. So that is an experience.
The V10.
Yeah.
So the V10 is amazing. It has one of the best sounding engines, in my personal opinion. I mean, it's a Lambo, but it's just. I mean, it's dailyable, if that makes sense. Yeah. If that's a word, you know. But on that note, before we get into our arguments, because I know this is, it's going to get heated. Lucky, you better get ready to run in here. Eh? It's going to be heated. We're doing our awards here.
That's why he has double glass.
Is this thing double glass here? Yes. Now, the thing is, Lucky, with myself and Ziad, the problem with having two people is majority never wins, because I say one thing and he says something else. But before we get to that, for anyone who's traveling in the area, I've just got a message that there is a new Jamaatkhana in Villiers situated at 30 Pearson Street. It has men's and ladies' facilities. So if you're in the area, Ziad, if any of our listeners in the area, there's a new Jamaatkhana.
Is that the one at the Caltex?
You know what? I'm not going to lie to you. I just got this. Now, please announce this.
There is one at the Caltex that they said was opening.
Okay.
That's, you know, like on the N3.
Look, Villiers is a small. It's probably that one.
Okay.
Okay. But the address is 30 Pearson Street in Villiers.
Okay. So that's right? In Villiers probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So not on the highway. Okay.
Yes. Okay, Ziad, let's do this. Let's get into it. Best premium sedan for you, 2023. What vehicle is it?
Best premium sedan.
Yeah.
BMW 320d LCI, hands down. That's the easy
question. I can't even fight that one.
Give me a tough one.
Hands down, right? Hands down.
Yeah.
It's a stunning looking vehicle. Enough performance. In fact, if there was an award for, like, you have to take the buckies out, like an actual best car of the year, for me it's that.
I think
it's getting a little pricey,
that
though.
That was a standout for me this year. Was one of the cars that really.
Okay, but you
out.
Can also say it's getting pricey, because, I mean, if you look at its competitors.
It's well priced, I think.
Look, what's the price of a 320 diesel LCI like M Sport, because it should only be that?
It's under a million, and you're looking at the C Class is over a million.
Yeah. And what's an A4 coming in at?
Sure, you're asking me.
But
you're asking me difficult. But I think it's around the same. I think the C class is a little bit more than the A4 and the, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
But don't quote me on that.
Okay, but look, I agree with you. I hate to say that. But that's a clear cut one,
yes.
Right?
Okay.
Best performance car of the year for you?
Sure. Best performance car. Oh, again, what are we talking? Like what price range?
Like I said, like maybe a
entry level performance car.
What is an entry level today?
So
any performance car is R1 million.
R1 million is an entry level performance car.
I hate that. Like it literally, it makes me feel like I'll never afford a performance car. Like honestly, okay.
Unless you want a GTI, do you consider
at 860,000? No, I don't consider it a car. That car is horrible. The Golf 8 GTI. Let me. Since we're all getting things off our chest today, Michael had his shot. For me, the Golf 8 GTI is a horrible vehicle.
No, I totally
the quality
agree
is junk.
You.
The performance is junk. It looks junk. Sorry.
Do you know when I drove? I was telling my wife when I drove the Golf 5 GTI, I wanted one.
Yes.
When I drove the Golf 8 GTI, I said they can keep it. No, seriously.
Yes. No. So I have a major issue with the Golf 7 or the Golf 8. Golf 7 was basically the pinnacle of GTI. Right, as far as I know,
7.5,
right? Okay. Golf 8 came in, and literally, like the quality of everything just deteriorated. Performance, it's like, I don't know, it's like, you know, when you don't do your homework, but then you like try and just finish like a little bit just so that you hand in something. That's honestly what I feel like with VW and the Golf 8 GTI.
The Hyundais and the Kias have better performance than the
yes.
GTI,
yes. Like
let's just put it out there, unpopular opinion, but I mean,
look, GTI is, well, we're never going to affect the sales of a GTI. It's one of those vehicles where the Golf 9 GTI could be 10 times more horrible than the Golf 8, but it'll just sell because, you know, why? It's a GTI.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's got that boy racer appeal and stuff like that, and obviously that market or that segment has kind of dwindled. I mean, you don't get an ST, a Focus ST. The new Renault Megane RS is not so hot. Type R is lovely, okay, Honda Type R. That could be a contender, but for me personally, I think it's the M2. I'm basing it on performance and not the looks, because it still hasn't grown on me to a point where I look at it and be like, wow. I really don't. I do look at it in wow, but like in a negative form. But the performance of that vehicle is incredible, and I take it over. I know what you're going to say is yours.
I see your M2. Okay, what can
right?
I?
Okay, can I just guess what's yours?
Okay.
RS3.
RS3.
Am
hands
I right?
Down. Hands down.
Okay.
RS3, whether it's in the hatch or the sedan,
right.
That car, you see now, the M2 you're talking about, that's a coupe. Right?
So,
already now, you can forget about passengers unless they're going to be jumping over your seats.
Right.
The RS3 is like you always talk about practicality. It's practical.
But when we're looking at a performance car, we don't need it to be practical. In fact,
but I mean, that's
it should
that's
be.
Just
it should it not be like you shouldn't be able to take two extra passengers because there should be a roll cage. That's what I'm talking performance car, right? But on that note, I drove a RS3 yesterday, and it's a really nice vehicle. It's amazing, right? It's fast. It feels quite quick, but a performance car for me personally, I must always be like a little bit afraid of it, if that makes sense. Do you remember like the older C63s?
But the A45S you can be afraid of.
Yeah, that's true. Eh? In fact, in those two, the A45 and A35, I always told you I enjoyed like hammering the A35 more because I felt it was more usable. The A45 is like you get on the brakes like really soon, like it's a rocket, you know. And the nice thing or the thing I enjoy about the M2 is it's like very driver orientated. Like you need to be in control. You can't be doing things with one hand. You need to be engaged. So for me personally, that's my performance car of the year, M2. For you, you can
RS3 definitely.
Vanilla, but okay. In terms of best EV of the year, and we've actually driven a few.
Yes.
What was yours?
So, I'm going to say the EQE 43.
Mercedes-Benz. Okay.
The reason why I'm going to say that is the launch control is
yes.
is mad. It's
yes.
like crazy. The the speed is just unreal. Mm. But also, again, it's a car that you can drive daily. Mm. And I mean, fuel consumption, it's just like, I feel EQE 43 for me was, yeah.
Okay.
Your EV?
I'm going to have to agree with you. I don't want to agree with you. I really don't. But yeah, it was really... I also like how it looks for an EV.
Yeah.
Like that EV, the no grill and, you know, those... It's taking some time to settle with me. But I think it looks pretty good. It's a nice looking car.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Best Bucky of the year.
Best Bucky. Ford Ranger. It would have to be the Ford Ranger.
Mm. No, definitely. I don't think we can fault that vehicle in any way in terms of being the best. Maybe your insurance repayments and the fact that you don't know every time you park it at the plaza if you're going to come out and still see it there. But it's such a good, so refined. It's just a very, very lovely Bucky. I do have a wild card to throw in there.
Okay.
And you'll know why, because I'm driving one right now. But the Jeep Gladiator, right? It's not for everyone. When you're buying a vehicle, if in the first 10 questions you want to know about like fuel consumption, this is not the vehicle for you. It's not. But everything else, it just has this... It's very hard to explain. It has this like extreme X-factor appeal. Because firstly, it's not a common vehicle. It is pricey, but it's like a thoroughbred something, you know. Like when I got to the studio, like Lucky's eyes lit up, and he wouldn't have lit up that way if we came in here with a Ranger or if we came in here with a Hilux or a Land Track. I don't know if it was the color, Lucky,
no,
or the vehicle.
Bright. It was very bright. That's why the color is very bright.
So it's gonna be hard for me to explain this, but if you Google Jeep Gladiator High Velocity, that's the name of the color. Just have a look at it. It's a very impressive color.
It's high visibility. That's
yes,
what the
yes. I think that should like that should be like an insurance, reduction right there. Lucky, people are going to see you coming with it.
But
thing.
Can you consider that a Bucky?
100%. It has a payload. It can load. Why are you picking on it?
No, I'm saying like it's
what makes it not a Bucky?
It's a four
because it's
by four
awesome.
Off-road. It's not
Bucky.
Like a Bucky.
It's a Bucky. Does it have a bin?
It has a bin.
Can you load in it?
I don't know. Have you loaded in there?
Yes, okay. I have. I have actually.
Is it closed?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I mean it like your one is closed,
mm-hmm.
but does it normally come closed?
So, I think so. Because okay. all the ones I've seen have it closed, but okay. it's a very nice like cover. It actually there's like this like clip where you pull it and it flaps over each other to like a blinds almost and opens up the cover.
Oh, okay.
So very practical.
Okay.
But I think honestly, where this vehicle would absolutely shine is on an off-road course. It will be unstoppable.
But that's what I'm saying. It's more off-road than a Bucky.
No, you can't say that. Can't say that.
What does it identify as? It identifies as
an off-road Bucky.
Okay.
That's what it does. So, as a wild card, it's really a special vehicle. Let me put it that way. To me, at least.
Okay.
Right?
So, we'll give it a special award.
Then. A special award. Best family SUV for you?
Let's hear yours first.
In the budget category, I'm going to go with Urban Cruiser. Is that a SUV? Or is it
no,
a
it's a crossover.
Crossover.
Yeah.
Maybe the X1. That's
the
not budget,
X1.
But it's a very like nice vehicle.
But what type of SUV are you talking?
You see, another thing.
You see,
now SUVs are like their own thing.
There's so many categories now. Because you have like a subcompact... crossover, then
yes.
you have a crossover, then you have a mid-size SUV.
Mm.
That it's like, where does, you know, like, where do you even fit each car?
I get what you're saying.
You know?
Yeah.
So what are we talking like?
Look, if you're looking at like the average family vehicle, right? I guess you'd be playing in the Fortuna, Everest,
because
range?
For me, if you're looking at like a mid-size SUV, well, they call it a mid-size SUV, it would definitely be the Hyundai Tucson. So So we're talking about a Kia Sportage, Hyundai Tucson. Yes.
But the Sportage is also a really nice vehicle. It's very light in fuel. It looks stunning.
But the Hyundai Tucson inline, it's a diesel,
yeah.
2 liter diesel. That for me was another standout car. That's the award for the family SUV.
So you'd think, okay. Yeah. I'm not going to contest it. That's fine. Tell me something. Best budget family. Now, what the segment would represent is a vehicle that's somewhat affordable, has space to carry 2 to 3 kids, has a boot.
Yes.
We would definitely favor some ground clearance. You know, you're taking your kids on the hiking trails or whatever.
So best family, what is it?
Best budget family vehicle.
Best budget family. Okay, so there's two vehicles for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's two different types of vehicles. So one, if you're looking at the sedan, I'm going to say the Hyundai Grand i10, right?
You think that's a family vehicle?
You can fit, you said 2 or 3 people in the car.
Oh, but you're right. The Grand i10 sedan has actually quite a deep boot.
Yeah, and it's got space in the back.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the other one is the Suzuki Fronx.
Yeah, my vote would definitely go to the Fronx, eh?
Because the Fronx is that subcompact SUV
I
with the ground clearance that you want.
I find myself advising people to buy a Suzuki Fronx very often.
I do the same. Like, if someone comes to me and they say to me they're looking at buying something, I say to them, but have you seen the Suzuki?
Yeah.
Have you seen the Suzuki Fronx? Have you seen how much
it
is?
Do you remember on launch how surprised all the journalists were when they announced the price?
Yeah.
Do you remember we had a discussion
before
they announced the price, and I think I was like about 100 grand off?
We were saying between 320 and 360.
So do you remember we drove the vehicle?
Yeah.
And then we only found out the price.
Yeah.
And based on first driving the vehicle, I think, like you're saying, like 80 or 90 grand off our...
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So that's... And, okay. Next one. Best off-roader. Now can we give it to the Gladiator, please? Let me tell you why. Two locking differentials, right? Disconnecting sway bar. It's an off-road monster.
Okay.
Done.
So okay, we're gonna take a route, right?
Okay.
You're gonna take your Jeep Gladiator, the Rubicon.
Right.
And I'm gonna take a 5-door Germany and we're gonna see if we can get through that route together and finish the route.
Okay.
Right.
Right.
Because for me, the 5-door Germany is so capable and so underrated because I mean it can literally come through this door.
Yeah.
Is your Jeep Gladiator gonna come through the door?
So obviously the Jeep, I think it's probably the length of the Gautrain. So parking and turning and whatever it is really a mission. But also on that note, I've driven SUVs that were harder to maneuver. For some reason, if you reverse this vehicle in, it's like it's child's play. And I think it's maybe just the height that you're at, so you really do have like a good command and like a view of everything around you. But yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but like it just has everything, like off-road, like it's so off-road. Like, do you know there's these apps on the vehicle? It's like called, I think, off-road pages or off-road apps or something. And it's like the tilt, the lean angle, it's like it's amazing. And it has a 3.7 liter V6. It's like buttery smooth. It's thirsty, but it's buttery smooth.
So I'm going to pay a third of that to get a 5-door Germany that's going to be fuel efficient and still have all the off-road capabilities.
Okay, let's...
Besides, okay, you got the bin.
Exactly. So practicality. I can start a little... This car can make me money. I can start a little garden service or whatever it is.
How much are you going to charge because the amount of fuel you're going to use to go down the road? A
removal company. Well, what is the payload in your Germany?
I'm buying it for off-road. We're talking about off-road capabilities.
Yeah, but I'm saying now we can double up, so it's like more benefits if you need to, you know, convince the missus.
The award is for off-road capability. Yes. It's not for running a garden service.
Okay, so Lucky, we're just going to agree to disagree there. I know which vehicle you're voting for, though. But yeah. So one last category, right? The best first car.
The best first car this year for me would be the Toyota Vitz.
Okay, what is the price of the Toyota Vitz?
So they're currently running a special. Not being paid for this, but I think they're giving 20,000 rand off. So it starts at like 190, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
180, 190.
Okay.
And I mean, okay, it is a Suzuki Solario. But I did say to you that you can start a whole Vitz culture, yes, with that car. Yeah, it's, yeah, that, yeah, type of car. So for me, it's not only like a first car, it's got everything that you need. It's affordable, but also if you're looking to, you know, like modify your car, you've got it.
Okay. So Ziad, if you'd be so kind as to upload all our winners onto our new social, bumper to bumper, yes, page, which I hope everyone is now following.
It's B2BCII.
Is there any underscores or dots?
No, just B2BCII.
Okay, we kept it very simple.
Yes.
Okay, lovely. But that also brings us to the end of today's show. I quite had a lot of fun on today's show.
Yes, it was.
I think it was seeing Lucky in person.
He made us smile today.
He did.
He made
did.
Us very welcome and at home.
Really. Yeah, I think we need to do more shows in studio, with Lucky's permission, obviously. But that's a wrap from us. Inshallah, next week, same time. If you are traveling, please be safe on the roads. Just have all your ducks in a row. The roads are absolutely littered with, you know, people who are partying and police, and just be safe on the roads. And from our side, myself, Ziad, and Lucky, we wish you all the best in this holiday period. If you are taking a break, it is, I'm sure, very well deserved. From our side, assalamu alaikum, and same time next week. What could you say? Where could you go? If time stops, you are standing alone. There'll be a lot of space you never seen before. From our headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa, to the rest of Africa, this is CII Radio Live.